Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Only one in the queue right now. Layla, would you put your hand up? If you hear my voice, I'm not sure I was plugged in. Okay, good. Assalamu alaikum. This is AM360, and I am Shahid Abdullah, African-American, Imam Shahid Abdullah, African-American, Balanian Griot. And I'm here today bringing you this program that we have in store for you, Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. It's a program that's designed primarily to work with the African-American people to get us to the point that we can do those things necessary for us to move forward, for us to make progress. I'm going to begin the show by with the opening, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadin Naduhu wa Rasuluh. I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant. With Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, greet the brothers and sisters of the listening audience, and greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. For those of you who are Muslim, and for those of you who are not, that may peace be unto you. And we wish the peace that only Allah can give to you. Today we're going to be looking at something, and some of you may know me, and some may not. So I'm going to introduce myself formally. My name is Imam Shahid Abdullah, and I'm the African Bilalian American Griot. And I have been part of this community for over 30-some years, and I thank Almighty Allah for blessing me to be here today and be here with you in this day and time. I have some things I want to express to you that I think we need to know, and we may be able to do something about, although it may not be as easy as it sounds or easy as one may make it to be, but it's something that we can do. And I want to give you an idea of what the problem may be, because it is a serious problem. And I studied at several colleges, and one of them was here in Jersey. I got my degree in sociology. It gave me the opportunity to look at social groups and develop the ideas and concepts that come from that kind of research. And I have been, as I said, part of the Nation of Islam for about 38 years or so, part of the community that the Nation of Islam, that sprang out of the Nation of Islam under the leadership of Imam Mahdi Muhammad. And during that period of time, I was able to get a lot of information to help me in what we call independent studies, studies to help us see what we're searching and what we're looking for on our own, using our own techniques and skills that we find that works best for us in the field. And that's what I've been doing. I've been blessed to be able to come up with some very important information and some important knowledge that I believe that is going to help us all. I want to begin this evening. I want to begin with a talk by Imam Mahdi Muhammad. It wasn't a talk by him. Actually, it was a question asked by him and some years ago, and he answered the question. It was about Methab, and he answered the question. And some of you might have heard this question before, and you might not have heard it, but I'm going to just play it so you, if you hadn't heard it, you get a chance to hear it. If you did hear it, it'll just remind you of what he said. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. That's so very important for those of us who were there and heard this statement made by Imam Arti Muhammad, and those of us who have faith in what he was saying and belief in the process that he spoke of, that we are a new people created by Allah. And it actually began a while ago, as most of you are aware of, that while the European were making slaves out of the African, Allah was creating a people, a new people, a people that would have, that the world had never seen. And what's important about that is that we have to get an idea about the purpose of our creation and the purpose of our ability that we've been given. What's the purpose of our ability and what is that ability? There are certain laws and regulations that we have to look at in terms of existing in the world. Allah created the world, and with it, he created the laws of gravity. We can only go so high, we can only jump so high on the planet Earth until we have to use our mind, our intellect, to create something to take us much further than we could do with just our physical body. We use our physical brain to create these ideas and concepts. Now, these laws are in place, and they're in place for a reason, because they keep everything in the physical world operating on a basis on which it can continue to evolve and develop. The same thing holds true with the human being and all of the families of the human being. When Imam Muhammad said, "We are a new people," that triggers a thought in our minds. I remember when I first came into the nation of Islam, and around 70, 78, around that time, I was inspired by the conversations and the talks and the things that were going on about the African-American people. But what really caught my attention more than anything was this particular talk here about Imam Arti Muhammad, where he said, "We are new people." That put into motion an idea that we all should have as to things having a beginning and things having an end. And when we look at the creation, we notice that there are items, there are concepts, there are ideas. They have beginnings. They have endings. And Allah has blessed us with enough knowledge in the Quran and history to give us a not just a bird's eye view of what's going on, but give us an idea about what is happening in the modern world and what is happening, what will happen in the future. It's projected in many places in the Quran and many places in the Bible about the future, how the future looks. Now, many of us may not even believe some of the things we read, or we believe them partially. Some of us believe them wholeheartedly. Some of us take them as inspiration to cause us to go further in our understanding, go further in our development as a human being. Everything that Allah created has laws governing those things that he created, those items, though the living, whether it's living or organic and inorganic. There are rules and laws that control them. And one of the laws that we have to be concerned with as African-Americans, these new people, and I'm going to sort of emphasize this part of the talk about being a new people because it's so important. As a new people, we have to become aware of certain laws that govern human beings as they come into existence. And one of those laws is called the sub-replacement fertility rate. That's a law just like the law of gravity that holds us on the earth, the other laws that man have an opportunity to use to his advantage or disadvantage. But the sub-replacement fertility rate is a law that all living creatures have to conform to, or they would disappear in terms of generationally speaking. I hear much talk today about generational wealth, that we are preparing to build wealth for our generations to come. We're going to develop our capital in such a way that we invest it so that our children and our children's children will be guaranteed a way of life that they can enjoy. But what guarantees the children of the children, that generation to be, what guarantees their existence? Do we have any idea? Many of us just think they're going to be here. Many of us just think it's going to happen. Based on the present law and based on the present rate of development, the African-American people are on a course that many before us were on, the course of extinction. Now, I know that many of us might not even consider such a thing as becoming extinct, but it's the same principles and ideas that the people of South America, they didn't consider them being going to be called extinct. Now, we read those about the Bible and the Quran. We believe them. We believe the stories. Do we believe that possibility? There are many other examples of people becoming extinct in the Quran. We're living in a country now where we can look at living examples. When the European came to America in around 1492, let's say the 1600s, there were over 65,000 Native Americans living in North America, the part of America we call the United States of America. 65,000. They're down to They're down to about 2 million now. The Aztec in Mexico, the Aztec Indians, there was 25 million. They're a little less than a million or so. And then the Incas down in Central America were 40 million. They're down to about 3 million. And there are some in this country called Massachusetts. The Massachusetts, not the state Massachusetts, but the people called Massachusetts was a Native American people who lived in America. Now they are extinct. They are extinct. The Iroquois, another nation of people. The Mohegans, another nation of people, extinct. The possibility of extinction exists in every living creature's family structure, cultural structure, and is based on what the scientists call replacement fertility rate. It's a law that Allah has in place to ensure that if we carry out His directions, we can survive for generations after generations. If we don't carry it out, we won't be able to survive those generations. What's more important is believing it. Not that it exists, because it really does exist. So it's not so important that it exists or one maybe does exist. But what's most important is that we believe that it exists. Because if we believe that it exists, then there's something we will want to do about it. Some of us would want to do something about it. Is there a possibility for this to be avoided? How is it going to come about? So many times we hear that idea about becoming extinct. We think it's going to come about like the United States or the European Americans going to fly over the African Americans' communities and drop some poison of some sort. But that's not the way it's going to happen. Excuse me for just a moment. You call?
No, I did not. I sent you a text.
Okay.
I didn't call you. I told you that we didn't hear the video.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. I apologize because just got the message that you didn't hear the video of Imam Mufti Muhammad, but we will play that at another time. But in the video, the lecture that he was at a lecture, and he was asked a question about, he spoke of a time past that we will have a new method, a new law coming from our community. And he was addressing that issue. In addressing that issue, he mentioned that we are a new people. We Allah created us brand new in America. And for those of us who heard that, we had an opportunity to either believe it or not. And that's what we are addressing presently. We're addressing that possibility of being a new people. And if we are a new people, if we believe that, then what are the ramifications of our existence? We gonna exist along the lines of, we're just speaking in terms of would the sub-replacement fertility law fall in along with our also? Or will we avoid that? Now, the reality is that the sub-replacement fertility rate is on all human beings, all species. And we're not the first species of human beings to be threatened by this particular law. Most of them, some of them, not most of them, because some of them have been extinct, but others have been able to adjust to the sub-replacement fertility rate. Since we've been brought here to this country by the European people, the African people have been used to develop America to become this great empire that it is today in terms of another European empire. Now, since that time, our usefulness as a slave, that human capital, that time has sort of passed by. They're not struggling to try to keep our presence in America, and they're not really coming against us in terms of what one might think. We're going to be attacked one day by the European American and all shot down in the street. No, that's a more of a unreal analysis. What are the possibilities? The possibilities of our existence is simply based on the sub-replacement fertility rate. Most of us are so unconscious of this idea, of this thinking, not ideas, a law, of this thinking that we don't even hear of. The European American knows of it, the Chinese knows of it, the Japanese knows of it. Many other people in the world know of this particular sub-replacement fertility rate. And it's so important that the countries who for years now have been trying to get their population to decrease, they're in a process of population control. They're trying to control their population growth, as they were saying for many years, and they've come to the understanding that they too are suffering and will suffer from the same law that every living creature would suffer from, and that's the sub-replacement fertility rate. Let me just give you explanation of what that really means. The sub-replacement fertility rate is that every culture, every group of people, the females in that group of people must have two children in her lifetime, two children, who reaches the age of 15. She has to replace herself, and she has to replace her husband, her mate. If that does not happen, then that civilization is headed toward extinction. That has to happen. Once that's broken down and once that does not happen, then that particular group, as I mentioned, the Massachusetts Native Americans, they have disappeared, and all the Native Americans. You can see them in a museum. That's about the only place you can see people who did not obey that particular law. And we got that law in the law of multiplying. And scripture says, fruitful and multiply, and Quran and Bible, that people who were given religious understanding were given a command that they have to be fruitful and multiply in order for them to exist generation after generation. But if they don't obey that simple law, then they just become extinct and the next group of people come in their place. And there are always groups of people who come into existence just like we have. Just like we, that, I apologize if you weren't able to hear the tape, but that tape that Imam Muhammad spoke of, that we are a new people. That's that we came into existence. Before America, colonial times, we didn't exist as a people. After colonial times in 1600s, then the European American began to develop his country or his culture and his continent by the use of slaves that they had developed, had bought, had gotten from other people to develop America. In fact, they developed the whole America, North America and South America. We're speaking primarily of North America now, the United States, where the United States is. They developed that land, and in developing that land, they caused a combination of mixture of people. The Africans from different tribes, from most from the western part of Africa, were of different tribes. They commingled. The Native American that was here commingled. The European American commingled. That addresses all the different complexions we are, our different textures and things that we have. We were brought into existence by Allah's command under that particular system. Now, I know many of you might think that that was a harsh way to come into existence, but that was what happened in order for us to get here. In order for the African American to exist, that process had to take place. And that process took place, and it caused the new people to come into existence. And that's who we are. Now, in order for us to stay in existence, we have to obey the sub-replacement fertility rate. We have to obey that. Now, it's very difficult in some ways to for us to see these things and follow them closely. But when you begin to look at what happens in terms of the African American people, as I was mentioning, all the other civilizations are beginning to recognize the importance of the sub-replacement fertility rate, and they're beginning to reverse a process they had started years ago. The process they had started years ago in terms of population control, like in Japan and other countries, they are reversing. Now they are actually paying couples to have children. China has reversed her policy. In Europe, all the European countries reversed their policies, nearly all of the European countries. Their policies of having one child or not even having children or weren't having children. But now it's changed. Israel has put in a policy that they must have children. And now they have moved up above the sub-replacement fertility rate. They were down below the sub-replacement fertility rate at one time. Now they're up to about 2.8 children being born in Israel. They're trying to avoid that. We are the only one of the groups, but the only one we know of, I know of, and I have researched, who are not aware of this. And those who are aware of it don't believe in the they understand and won't take them to the level of believing it. The idea that we are living in a country that suddenly integration, multiple marriage and interracial marriage, things such as drugs and these things that are going through our community now, presently, are causing our population to decrease in our community. When you take something as simple as interracial marriages, when an African American have a child with a European American, that child has already begun to deplete the African American existence. And if that child then marries another child whose parents had done the same thing, then they move to the next level, which means that it's only going to take two or three generations for the African American people to become extinct under that process. We don't expect that process to be the only thing that's going to take place. There's not enough of it. But there are other things that are in place, such as the drug being taken by African-American people, killing of African-American people. The abortion rate of the African-American people is higher than the death rate in cancer. Abortions, more babies, more African-American babies are aborted each year than all of the diseases we have in that year. Tuberculosis, cancer, name all of them together. The death rate does not come up to the abortion rate that the African American people are involved in. This is the kind of thing that is not told to us much. It's told, but not in a way that we see it in everyday language. We get mostly song and dance in everyday language, mostly entertainment in everyday language. We get mostly let's make money in everyday language. You hear these some people say we want to have generational wealth. We want to be able to make enough money for the next generation to live in pleasantly, live in a lifestyle that's amenable to them. That money, that wealth, doesn't mean anything if they're not here. If the generations disappear over time, and there's a good possibility, because remember, when I first started to talk today, we talked about the sub-replacement fertility rate being at 1.2 children. African American people, since the census over the last 10 years, have gone down to 1.88, which means we are already below the sub-replacement fertility rate. So what our responsibility primarily is to try to bring that to the attention of the African American people, and bring that sort of message to us will help us begin to see what it is and what we can do to avoid it, because it is a way to avoid it. But we are going to have to use those things that Allah has put in place for us to avoid the possibility of extinction. As we go on to this evening, I want to just say to some of you that you, if you have a question, you can be able to answer your question just by pushing the one, and I'll see your hand raised, and you can ask your question or make your comment. And ask for you to be brief in your comment and question, and we'll get to all the questions and comments. But the main thing is that we want to try to keep it relevant. Most of what I just spoke about, I am pretty certain that most Africans are aware of. And that's the reason for bringing that to your attention. They have a statistic out that says that would people pay more attention to making a great deal of money and an idea would if they had a life-threatening situation in front of them? Which would catch their attention more? And actually, the life-threatening situation would catch the attention of people more than making money. It seems like, you know, when you think about it, it doesn't seem like that, but it is. When the threat is real, and I and others are trying to make this threat that's upon the African-American people as real as we can. We can't make it any realer than the facts, and we're dealing with facts. We know that many of us like to deal in theories and concepts and ideas, but we are dealing in facts. What we're talking about is something factual. The factual reality of the existence of the African-American people. Now, what I want to turn our attention to is what to do about it. What can be done about all of the things that have been done to the African-American people to sort of reverse the process of what we are in? Those of us who are aware of what we're in, then you are eager to move into the process as I. And those who are not aware of it, we invite you to that. We invite you to become aware of the process that we have to enter in order to avoid an inevitable process of extinction of the African American people. I'm not saying all Africans, that we're not talking about all Africans. We're talking about the Africans who've undergone the experience here in America, whose parents were brought here, grandparents and ancestors were brought here from Africa, and they were made in terms of uniting together, coming together, and then reproducing and building a culture here in America. That is the group of people we are speaking about today. That's the group that we must be able to get the word to and begin the process of avoiding this extinction. The beautiful thing about this whole idea is that if we begin the process to avoid extinction, it also, that same process also puts us in the position of becoming more prosperous, because one of the secrets for us to avoid the process is to develop human capital. Develop human capital, meaning that human capital is talks about the skills and the intellect and the knowledge of people and how they can build things to develop themselves. That's the process of human capital. And once we start developing that and begin to marry amongst ourselves and have children amongst ourselves and take great interest in that and realize how important that is, then we can reverse in this process. But that process is not as easy to reverse as it is to say, to talk about, because it involves a mindset. It involves a mindset. The mind, the human being's mind has to be free. We have to have mental freedom to reverse a process such as this. We have to have mental freedom to move in a direction that we can be able to not only become more prosperous, but we can also prosper and we can preserve ourselves in terms of generationally speaking. But we must be able to look at this from a way of freeing our mind, our mentality, in order to get that power to reverse this process. Now, again, what we talked about, and I apologize that we didn't hear the other broadcast, but that begins with the process of developing our concept and idea of who we are. I remember back in the days of the Nation of Islam, I remember that one of the main processes was know yourself, be yourself, the power of self. All that was important, and at the time, I didn't see the relationship between what we are talking about this evening and what was being said. What was being said then was a idea and concept that was developed by a man called Master Farad, and he came up with an idea of how he could motivate the African people, and he used the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as his word of mouth, his mouthpiece to the people. to get the motivational juices going in the people, because once the motivational juices start in the people, they can accomplish almost anything. One of the great African Americans said, up you mighty nation, you can accomplish what you will. And another one said, drop your put your shovels where your boots are. So right where you stand, you can build something. You can build a nation. Those are motivational talks, because the human being has been created to take complete charge of the creation. So those of you who read Quran and other religious books, you see in there where it says the Creator created man to be the vicegerent, or to be the one who, Khalifa, as some books call it, to be the one who can take this physical world and develop it into something. Man has the power to change this whole creation. And we're only working with a little part right now, but if we just think for a minute that the little time we have been here, as the human being has been on this planet, we have used about less than 10% of our mental capacity. And we've already developed machines and computers. We've been to the moon. We're looking at the stars and all of the universe in just a short period of time. Where would we be 1,000 years from now? Because 1,000 years ago, we was riding horseback, and now we are flying. Human mind has been given the power to change the creation. The human mind has been given the power to develop the creation. In fact, those sayings that it says that Allah says to man, says to the creation, says to all of the angels, the malaika, he says to them, he says, make sujja to my man, make sujja to his khalifa. And talking about the man, and as you know, Imam Muhammad already expressed to us that man means mine. Man means mine. So knowing that man means mine, then that creature that is going to use this physical earth to develop it is the human being, the man. And all of the creatures that follow the laws and regulations that Allah has put in place, the malaika, the angels, as they call them, angels, they are there to assist. They are there to assist man in developing his ideas, his wishes, and his goals. They are not there to project for man. They are not there to have a idea or concept for them to create something for man. No, Allah has created the creation for man and has given man the mind to develop this creation. So with a man, have the human being having the power to develop this creation to what we can, out of ideas and concepts we can imagine, that is a great deal of power. And each generation inherits this power. We inherit the power to change this projection, to change the direction, and to even quicker and faster. We have inherited that power. And that power comes with mental freedom. And once we get our minds free, then we can begin to develop, and we could begin to go in the direction that Allah has intended for us to go. The problem that the African-American people will have it is that our minds are not free. We don't have intellectual freedom. We don't have, not intellectual freedom. We don't have mental freedom. We had the freedom to become an intellect, but we don't have mental freedom. In other words, we don't have the freedom to use the mind as we would desire. And although we think we are doing that, we are absolutely not doing that. When we were brought to America by the European American. They took all of the power and redirected it. They took our culture away. They took our languages away. And would not let us develop them. So they developed for us their way of life, for us to live according to their wishes, their desires. They did to us what they did to the Native American. When they reversed the process in the Native American to do for himself, they wouldn't even allow the Native American to go to his own schools. They wouldn't let him educate themselves anymore. They didn't even let them wear their tribal clothes anymore. They had to come to the educational institutions that the European American had established. And then they would be able to survive in America, as it seems. But they have not been able to survive because their cultures were taken from them and they were given a new way of thinking. And so they're not here anymore. They have done that to us. But the problem that happened with us is that the European has done certain things that cause us to have a little leeway. A little leeway that Allah had opened up doors for us to be able to evolve as a culture, as a people. One of those doors started in Sea Islands. You can get this in your history books and you will see it. When you piece all this together, you'll see the picture. But I know that it may not be as easy to see the picture when we don't have it all pieced together. And those of you who have been reading some of the material that I've written, some of my books, Uncovering the Scheme of preventing the evolution of the African-American culture, or a community, Spirit of Allah, a community is born, or River Go, any of those things you've read, get an idea about this concept. This concept that Allah has blessed America in the sense of causing the African-American to come into his own, come into his own thinking. Like when Imam Muhammad put it, he said, Allah has made the African, gave him a new way of thinking. We think different than the Arab. We think different than the European. We think different than the African from Africa. We are new people. And Imam Muhammad said, Allah did this. This was in his presentation. In my research, I found the same thing, and I know others have. They found the same thing, that Allah has blessed the African to come to America and be able to begin to build a new culture, a different culture. We created a language down in the Sea Islands called the Haitian language. We combined the Arabic and African tribal languages, the Native American language, and the English language from the European, and created a new language called Geechee. Now, that didn't just happen, decided to do that. No, it took a significant effort and the mercy of Allah for that to happen. Because it happened down in the Sea Islands, down in Georgia and in South Carolina. In that area where they had the large rice farms. Now, in that area where they had these large rice farms, from June to October of each year, mosquitoes are rampant in those areas. And those mosquitoes carry malaria and yellow fever, they called it. And the European didn't have any defense against malaria. And when he would catch malaria, get sick, severely sick, or die, most times die. This is what kept the European out of Africa. The European didn't go deep into Africa when he was going to get his slaves. He used to stay on the coast area, because if he went too deep into the African continent, he would be contacted by these mosquitoes and he would get malaria. So they were smart enough not to go inland. But this malaria, the African had become immune to it. And they became immune to it because when Allah created the human being in Africa, in and around the country of Ethiopia, one of the things that the human being was created with was the sickle cell. The sickle cell, the same sickle cell that the European tell you is bad, tell you is a disease. But that was the force that God created in the human being to help the human being survive creation, to survive through this concept of malaria, this concept of getting past these mosquitoes that carry these diseases. What the germ would do, the sickle cell would take the germ and run it out through the spleen, and the African would just maybe get a cold or something, but he wouldn't die. And the Africans that they brought to America, that the European brought to America, had sickle cells in them. Many of us still have them today. They make us think that we are sick. They don't tell us how to eat properly so that the blood and the cells won't become not inflated, but they call it infected. When we learn how to eat properly and take care of ourselves, this won't be a problem anymore. It's a problem now because we're allowing the European to tell us how to operate with it. The same thing they did with syphilis in the Tuskegee experiment. What they did with the Africans then, gave them these germs. But it happened naturally down in the Sea Islands that Allah had already in the African's blood the sickle cell that would cause them to be able to survive in the Sea Islands. And from June to October, when that was what they call malaria season, the European had to leave that area and go further north up in Austin. They couldn't stay in that area and survive because they didn't have a cure for it. They didn't have quinine and things of that nature. So the African was left alone to develop himself every year, 6 months out of a year. And what they were doing was trying to figure out a way on how they could survive in this land, how they could survive under the persecution of the slave master. And many of them had gotten together, and they moved from Georgia and South Carolina further down into Florida. That's where they set up the first African post in Fort Moose. The Spanish owned Florida during that time. They set up Fort Moose. When you look in your history books, you're going to see that's one of the first establishments of the African-American people. The area still exists. You can visit it. But the point is that the Africans were evolving. Evolving because Allah had in the plan for them to be able to survive in this America so they can lay down the foundation for what motivates the human being, the human being's culture. The human being has to have a culture. How we came into exist, our place of origin, all of those things motivate us to achieve, motivate us to go along and build and grow. And this is with every human being. It's not just particularly with us. It's with the Chinese, with the Japanese, with the European, with the German, with the Jew, with the Arab. All cultures are basically the same when it comes down to motivating the people of that culture to be a benefit for the people. Our problem in America is that we have been educated by the European American, and he used his culture to prevent the growth of our culture. But our people did a pretty good job, even though they had to come along and go through some of the changes we had to go through in order to get this motivational idea and concept of preservation going. Once we could get into this, what was in our blood, in our thinking, the concept and the law, another one of those laws we spoke about that Allah had created in the human being, the law of self-preservation. Once our people began to understand that and had the freedom to develop that, we got on the move. And our biggest problem is that most of us suffer from the European culture that has affected our way of thinking. Many of the scholars of the past saw this, like George Washington Carver, Carter G. Woodson. They saw this. They saw that what was doing, what was happening. Many of our people don't see it today because they're so busy having fun. They're so busy enjoying everything. The Europeans, they come and swim with us, come and eat with us, come and do all those things, have a good time with us. We let you play on our teams. We let you swim in our pools. We're having such a good time that we don't read scripture. Upon me, and we don't read the scripture that tells us that we have to, as a people, we have to become motivated by that which Allah has put in us. Our bodies and the German's body and the Egyptian's body all come from the same earth. It comes from different parts of the earth, and those different parts of the earth help to produce the physical appearance and the physical existence that we are in. But that which motivates us is the same. That which motivates us is the same thing that motivates the Germans who make the best pianos in the world and also produce some of the best steel in the world. That same thing motivated the Egyptians to build the pyramids. That same thing is in us. The same thing that will trigger the motivation for us to grow and develop is in every human being. The difference is who educates that human being, who teaches that human being to be human, who teaches that human being the importance of life, who teaches that human being the values in life, who teaches that human being the morals and the development in life. That's the difference. That is the difference. Once the human being, and in our case, the African-American people, once we begin to realize that, and then we could start developing on our own, these important factors on how we can grow as a people, as a culture, then we will be able to develop these things on our own. But as long as we believe that we depend on the European American and his scheme to keep the African-American obey from progress, then our progress as a people will not be nowhere near it can be as a people. What's most important is getting to that understanding. What's most important is getting into that understanding, and how do we get to that understanding? You know, the European American has planned so many schemes, planted so many schemes in our path that we don't see the schemes. There's no way we can avoid them. Just like you call the European American a white man or white woman, and you call yourselves a black man or black woman. The European did that. Allah didn't do that. Your God did not create you a man or a black woman or black people. Your God did not create the European a white man. It's a concept. He created the European. And many of them come from different parts of Europe, like Germany. The German created space for them to grow in and gave them the freedom to grow in that space. The same thing with the natives of Africa, the Ghani, the people of Mali, Egyptians. He gave them the space on which to grow freely in. And that space will help shape them. This is why it's important to know the origin of people, a place of origin. This is how you determine what a person's even language. You can determine their language by their place of origin. You can determine their religion almost by their place of origin. Because the place of origin is the space in which this earth, this part of the earth, produced them. Physically and culturally. And this is why we all have different complexions and different, you may go into one part of the world and people there are pretty much a tan color with sort of straight hair. Or you go to another part of the world and you see the people there with blue eyes and sort of coarse hair and dark skin. Then you go in another part of the world, you see other things. All of these things are produced, all of these people are produced by the earth. Allah created the earth to do that. That's where the difference come from. That's where the different people come from. We're not the same. I hear some people to want to be a part and say, oh, ain't but one man, ain't but one human being. It's not. Man was created for one human being. Man was created for one idea, but there's many, all different cultures and different nationalities and complexions and all of those things. This variety is what makes man what he is, makes the woman what she is. Variety. That's what Allah created. This idea that we all are the same thing come from the human beings who still trying to manipulate the mind of the African American. Do you know where he came up with this idea about white from? Those of you who have read it, you know where it came from. During the colonial times, around 1776, Africans, Europeans, Native Americans all lived in the same area. And they all were primarily indentured servants. They weren't. There was a time before they started this idea of slavery, in terms of chattel slavery. They all lived in pretty much the same area, but one of them, one of the European colonists, by the name of Nathaniel Bacon. Nathaniel Bacon thought that the governor of Jamestown, governor of New England, governor of England. In Jamestown, Governor Berkeley thought that Governor Berkeley was cheating him because he was a frontiersman and he wanted more money for his furs and things he would get on the frontier. And he also wanted a place in the establishment of Berkeley's royal council. And Berkeley refused it. So Nathaniel Bacon got an idea. He united the Africans, united the Native Americans, and they all attacked Jamestown. They attacked Jamestown and burned Jamestown down. This is in your history. Look up your history books. They burned Jamestown down to the ground. And it was by the time that England had sent help for Berkeley. A year just about had gone by, and Nathaniel Bacon had died of dysentery. But this revolutionary freedom and revolutionary idea had caught a little steam in another colony in Maryland, Now they had outbreaks in Maryland. So by the time the King of Great Britain got his people there, the damage had been done. The damage had been done. And they had to go through the different areas of Maryland and Virginia to stamp out this rebellion. This is one of the first rebellions that America had against Great Britain. It wasn't called a war. It was just called the Bacon Revolution, revolution against Berkeley. Now, what Berkeley and the other cabinet members of the culture did, petitioned Great Britain and said, we want to come up with another idea to try to break up divide and conquer, to try to break up this idea about them uniting against us. You see, the greatest thing that a leader faces and the most detrimental thing a leader faces is for the people to unite against them. It's not to the advantage of the kings and not to the advantage of the leaders, not to the advantage of the Pope, none of them, to have people united. It's not to the advantage, because a new idea coming to that people who's united, it could turn against them. And they have no defense against the people. They know the history. Years ago when people used to get, especially in Europe, when people used to get this idea of coming together and going against the king, they chop off the king's head. They chop off the king's head. And so in order for the kings and leaders of the time to prevent that action, they discourage unity. They talk about it. They let you talk about it. They let the public, but they discourage in their writing, in their publications, in their approach to reality. They talk against unity. They do not want unity in America. That's why they got different parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And they're trying to encourage other parties to come and exist because they don't want the people to think as one. That's not their objective, because they know that if the people think as one, they're going to have to obey the rules of the people. They don't want to obey the rules of the people. They want to stay in charge of the people. Different concept, different thinking. When actually it should be a government of the people by the people. But that's not what they want. They want the people to stay divided amongst themselves, and they want to stay in charge. So when Berkeley came up with this idea with Great Britain on how to divide the masses to keep them from uniting, he said, let's call a group of them white. We call them white people. And we give them privileges. We let them bear arms. We let them have their day in court. We let them own land. We let them marry who they want, pretty much so. But they are white people. And another point is that they said to the people who accepted we call white people, you will not be subject to the same thing that Africa is and become a slave. You will never be put into a slave condition. And at the certain time when they made these laws, they made the law that the African could not own weapons. The African could not marry who he wanted. The African could not bring the European to court, even if the European did something against them. All of that was done as a result of what Nathaniel Bacon did in colonial times. But look at the impact it had on the mind. Look at the impact that had on the mind. The same concepts and ideas that exist in white supremacy, the distant racism, the distant all of those kinds of things that deal with the color of the skin exist in the mind of the people today. And as long as you call the European a white man, it triggers in your subconscious that he's superior to you, and no matter what you say or how you say it, I know there's many, I don't believe that. Yes, you do believe that. Even if you're a leader and you call the European American a white man, you believe because you know what white stands for. White doesn't stand for some old out of the space thing. It stands for superiority. It stands for I have privileges that you don't have. In fact, he says that you are people of color. Now look at this form of racism they do to us, and we do it. They do it to us in our face, and we don't even see it coming. Oh, we're people of color. These are people of color. But they don't say they're part of the people of color. Why? Because they're outside of that circle. And you and I, in our minds, we think that subconsciously. We operate like that. We move like that until we begin to reverse that thinking. And it's not easy. If you think it's easy, you're mistaken. It is not easy to reverse this process because you've been taught it all your life. I've been taught it all my life. This whole generation has been taught it all our lives since they invented it. And now we call ourselves black. It's not a deterrent of stopping them from calling themselves white, but it's almost a compliment when you think about it. You think about it, it's almost a compliment. You're actually saying that your thinking is so powerful. I can't be white. So I could be the opposite of white. I'll be black. You know, that's power that something has on the human mind, and it's going to make it near impossible for that human being to think like that, to ever see himself as an equal, because you can't say you're white. You have to say, I'm black. I'm people of color. There's no way to get out of that prison unless you begin to reverse that thinking. African Americans should call a European American white. All African Americans should call them for their place of origin. They are European American. They got their independence in America from Great Britain of European descent. We are African descent. We got our independence the same way at the same time in the Revolutionary War when over 5,000 of our people fought on the side of the patriots to win our independence from Great Britain. So we are African American. Place of origin. We must start thinking in terms like this. We have to start thinking. We got to get rid of this color identity. Because there's no place in the world called white. There's no place in the world called black. There's no earth like that. No country like that. But it is in Africa. Even if we don't agree with the name being one of the, not being the most ancient name of the continent. The same thing with Europe. They had different names for Europe or German or whoever they want to call themselves. We have to be able to see and understand. Pardon me for a moment. I see we have quite a number of people here, but if you want to ask a question, make a comment, you have to push the one on your phone so I can see your hand raised. And you can make a comment relative to the subject matter. This is what we're talking about, and our question, and then we can move on if you want to make a comment. But remember that we are here at AM 360, and we are. We are developing the idea and concepts that about the African American people and our presence. I want to we got this announcement going.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much. We have a caller on 504. Your mic is open. You can ask your question, make your comment.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. I'm glad to hear you, brother. Alhamdulillah. This is a little something I like to add to our experience in our situation here in America and even abroad. But it's something I like to read for us. Standing in our American citizenship. If people love you, you have to love them. And their love for you makes you want to know them better, too, because you think about them more. And really, you're fit for anybody's religion. A good person is fit for anybody's religion. And you have to embrace them just like you embrace one another. Form the alliances so that we will have more opportunity to grow financially and to build loyalty. Now, what is the first loyalty? What is the first tie or bond for loyalty? It is God. The number one obligation for our loyalty is to God. We have to be loyal to God first above this country. And this is nothing that you should be afraid to listen to. This is nothing you should be afraid to shout out, that your loyalty is not to your country first. Your loyalty is to God first. The reason why our citizenry has become so terrible, so funky, so rotten, is because our loyalty is not to God first. Loyalty should be to God first, then your country.
Alhamdulillah.
The loyalty of savages and loyalty of gangsters. This is the history of the world. That the loyalty they have, the loyalty of savages and gangsters. This is something Imam Muhammad wants us to know. And he feels very strongly that if either you don't pick up that the thing about citizenship, you're afraid that they will get lost. So praise be to Allah. I'm glad they listen to
Alhamdulillah. You. Yes. Thank you very much, brother. That's absolutely true. And our loyalty should be to Allah first. And in that, we should recognize that Allah has in place certain laws, certain rules, and the law of survival is one of those rules. In fact, we can't commit suicide as one who serves and believes in Allah. You can't take your own life. And he gives you that life, but you can't take it. That's one of the laws, and that you have to preserve that life. In other words, the law of self-preservation is Allah's law. All those are very important, because he didn't create man just to float around and do nothing. He created man to survive. He created man to grow. He created man to develop. And just the fact that those of you who read Quran, just the fact that he calls the human being the Khalifa, just that alone, if no other words are ever said again, and you know that Allah calls the human being the Khalifa, which is the one who turns the soil, meaning the creation, turns the physical world upside down and puts it into a new position that he sees in his mind, his imagination. That's the power of the Khalifa, one who can transplant hearts, go to the moon and do all those things. And we just, as a tip of the iceberg, we just touch it. Now, I did see someone else, but I think if you go out and come back in, just hit the one on your phone. I'll be able to see you, and you can ask your questions or comment. But that, the brother, you're absolutely correct. You have to put Allah first, but make sure we put the whole thing with Allah first. We just don't want to just put part and say we believe in Allah. We believe in Allah because we're working to our full potential. Allah didn't create us just for sport and play. He created us to work to a full potential that's in us. And many of us may not even recognize that in us until we start doing something with it. Then we start saying, oh, wow, this is great. Then Allah is on your side because he created you to do that. And we have to always have that in mind. And that takes us pretty much to our subject. Basically was talking about what things could we do to preserve what appears to be the inevitable if we don't do anything about it. And we're going to have to be able to use the powers that Allah gives us to be able to overcome those schemes that the European American has done and put on us. And Imam Muhammad explains them as the schemes of Satan, one of the schemes of Satan when he talked about the Noah and how Noah was one of his sons saw Noah's naked and intoxicated, and Imam Muhammad broke that down. He said that is what really happened, is that that's talking about culture. That means that the human being without culture is naked. And he said the dove that comes down at the end of the flood is for the world to start over again is a sign, is symbolic of that Shaitan is going to use a particular time in history to try to remake the man's mind, remake our society to be a society without morals, to be a society that he can control and manipulate. And we started living in that time now. You can't tell a man from a woman nowadays. Not only the adults, there are adults who tell their young children who are babies that you can, if you make up your mind to be what you want to be, I'll help you be it. If you want to be a girl, I'll help you do that. If you want to be a boy, I'll help you do that. I'll give you, help you get the medicines to change your sex. That's a mixed up person. That's a mixed up person. That's the work of Shaitan, because a lot of them make no mistake. Everybody who comes out of a mother's womb, you stand in front of a mirror, take that little baby and put them in front of a mirror, they see what they are. There's no mistake there. Now, in the case of where a person is born with two organs, a vagina and a penis, they can make that decision at birth. But the majority of the human beings, no question as to what they are. The question comes in the mind of the adults. And we see another caller here. Let me get to the callers because we're going to run out of time. Area code 248.
Islam, and you're on the subject, but it's a Allah. Man means mind,
right.
Thinking individual.
Alhamdulillah.
If I read, you can be what you want to be, the doctor, the lawyer, the Indian, or you could be a knucklehead. Okay, but do the right thing. The first teacher is mother, and heaven on earth is at the feet of the mother.
Okay, we have a lot of people.
They got this world. This world is so messed up right now. I'm talking about. I just think back and say, when Barack was in the White House, they legalized same-sex marriages. And after that, the new pope came in and said, you could change your mind, and all you got to do now is turn the TV on and see what you see.
That's
Don't
right.
let them program you. Do
right.
the right thing. Do what your mama said do, because heaven on earth is at the feet of the mother, okay?
Yes.
And read, and you will know, okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, it ain't by accident.
All this shit ain't by accident. Right now, America is Sodom and Gomorrah.
And brother, thank you so much. Yeah, we're running out of time now.
Okay,
so we got
well,
our next program.
Our
next program is coming on, and that next program is going to be marriage, couple, courtship, and marriage. That should be coming on shortly. We'll have a break in between that and the program in a minute. So I want to thank you all for being here. We're going to finish this conversation next week. So thank you very much. May Allah continue to bless you all. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah bless you all, and you have a good week. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Oh, that's all about that, yeah. the western side, getting into the southern side. Let's look at that. You still have some wind shear on the northern side. It's relatively light, but just enough to suppress it and kind of hold back the rain. I'm thinking of this as like a horse that's just ready to go on full-on gallop and really just unleash, and it's kind of getting held back just a little bit. After the next, you know, 2 days, you're looking at Thursday, it is going to intensify quickly. Rapid intensification is a phrase you're going to be hearing all day. So low wind shear right now. High moisture, of course, because it's getting out right over the tropical Atlantic. And then we have warm water. Yeah, we've been talking about it for months now. Look at the temperature here. You're into the mid 80s. And what's downstream of this, where it's going to enter? Upper 80s, right? And so it's going to have ample warm energy to tap into. Notice the agreement. So as we get into Friday evening, we know that it's going to be moving towards the west. And then, as once we get to the weekend, because there's so many days out, but also because of the steering mechanism is in high pressure in the central Atlantic, kind of forcing it into this direction. But I want you to see, by Friday, we're talking a major hurricane. By Sunday, this is new on the lake of Luxury. We're looking at 145. That's an uptick from 140 earlier in the day. This is the concern. You're looking at the Luxury, so you can move it into this. So you're looking at spots like St. Martin, St. Bartholomew, and Aguilla. Those spots on the northern side, they're on the cusp of this cone. By the way, the cone, as a reminder, is where the center of Tropical Storm Lee could move to. The impacts are going to be well beyond that. So they will feel the impacts in Puerto Rico, the British Virgin Islands, and all those spots in the northern luxury. That will be felt because of the wind impacts. We're looking at hurricane force gusts. Right now, we're hoping that it stays north of their Marisha, but looking at one storm, but the potential of dodging all of these storms, because we know there's quite a bit of activity that's happening in the Atlantic so far.
So there is, and the season is far from over. So we're going to look at what else is happening in the Atlantic Basin as we get closer, or just about 5 days away from that average peak of the season, coming up on September 10th. You'll notice the season that we've seen so far compared to average, the main storms are pretty much where we usually are, kind of going from speaking, 13 main storms so far this season. On average, we have 14. Hurricanes, we've had three. In fact, two of those have been major hurricanes, so a Category 3 or stronger. So we've been progressing quite quickly throughout the season. One of the reasons being the same service temperature Steve just talked about. I mean, we have an incredible amount of warm, well above average water. So the question is, will the wind calm down and allow that water to work against us and help these storms continue to grow and strengthen? So that's what we're going to be watching for. Those are the chance of development. Steve broke down with you. Let's go and talk about
Assalamu alaikum, this is the Preacher Hadi, director of the MCNR.